From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A patient taking responsibility for their own well-being almost always leads to healthier outcomes. But what if a patient doesn't know where to access healthcare or even recognize symptoms of disease? Doctors Daniel Hale and Dr. Panagis Galeatsetos from Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center promote patient education by drawing on the familiarity and trust developed in faith communities. It's called the Johns Hopkins Healthy Community Partnership. Now they've laid out how it works in a book titled Building Healthy Communities Through Medical Religious Partnerships. Here's Dr. Hale.
So I think people recognize that it is an empowering program. We really equip them with the tools they need to maintain their health, to maintain their independence and their dignity.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. It almost always leads to healthier outcomes when a patient takes responsibility for their own well-being. It's especially true of the ailments that are taking such a toll today. Not so much the acute infections or the broken bones, but ongoing chronic diseases like diabetes or high blood pressure. But what if a patient doesn't know where to access healthcare or even recognize symptoms of disease? Our guests today promote patient education by drawing on the familiarity and trust developed in faith communities, in synagogues, mosques, and churches. Through the Johns Hopkins Healthy Community Partnership, they aim to encourage health literacy and thus help people grow more skillful at preventing and managing disease. Our guests literally wrote the book on this. It's called Building Healthy Communities Through Medical Religious Partnerships. Later in the show, we'll meet a church member who is active in such a partnership. Joining us now is Dr. W. Daniel Hale. He's special advisor to the president of Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center. Dr. Hale directs the Hopkins Healthy Community Partnership. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also here is Dr. Panagis Galeatsetos, an instructor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and co-director of a nonprofit called Medicine for the Greater Good, based at Hopkins Bayview. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, glad to be back.
Dr. Hale, first talk about the Healthy Community Partnership. How did you first make the medical-religious community connection?
Well, it started really in Florida 25 years ago.
25 years ago?
Yes. When I made the connection with Dr. Bennett, who was a geriatrician at the time, and we recognized the—
Dr. Bennett is your co-author, the president of Johns Hopkins Bayview.
That is correct, yes. So I was in Florida, but I'd made the connection with him, and as you just stated, we realized the importance of health literacy, and the way to reach out into the community was through partnerships with faith communities.
But why that? Why did you know that faith communities were where you could make a vibrant partnership?
Two reasons. One, the greatest challenges with those chronic diseases occur among older adults. And if you think about it, the only place that older adults gather in large numbers on a regular basis are faith communities. So one, that's where the people are. And second, that if you really look at faith communities, they have a high ethos or tradition of education and volunteerism and altruism. So really, there's a similar mission there of helping people stay healthy, stay independent.
Dr. Galeatsetos, tell us about Medicine for the Greater Good and how it fits into the partnership.
Medicine for the Greater Good, I'll refer to it as MGG. For me, it grew out of a variety of experiences that I had, one of them working specifically with Dr. Hale, in a sense of working with the community through faith-based organizations, churches, and so forth. And when I was out there and being able to deliver some educational messages, what I was awestruck by was the acceptance of the community, the ability for them to take on that information without a constraint of time, which is often something that we see in a hospital or a clinic, and begin to turn the wheels and say, well, I can begin to help my colleague here, my neighbor here, my partner here, my friend here, something that I could never see happen within the confines of a hospital wall or a clinic wall. And I loved it. I was like, well, we're getting the message out now. We're getting patients to be more informed and engaged and empowered. MGG grew out of those experiences early on, and getting the pulse for the rest of the residents at Johns Hopkins Bayview, everyone wanted to do this. We felt it was a responsibility for medicine in the 21st century to recognize we need to be bedside by the community. And a lot of that has to do with the recognition that while we have full accountability of our patients' health outcomes, we have minimal authority over these non-biological factors that impact chronic diseases, as Dr. Hale was alluding to earlier. And we feel strongly the only way to really impact them is to be present out there in the community. And that's what MDG fulfills, a kind of a two-pillar prong approach. One, training the physicians through workshops to get them culturally competent to work with Baltimore City citizens. And second, getting them bedside in the community, recognize the community, learn who they are, and no longer say to the patient, I'm going to give you equal care. From now on, say, I'll give you equitable care because I know where you came from.
Dr. Hale, you want to weigh in?
Well, this has been an exciting development. One of the reasons I came here 7 years ago, brought here by Dr. Bennett, was because he thought there it needed to be embedded someplace and that there would be potential at Bayview for particularly in the residence program. And Dr. Galitsotis is the very first person I met in that residency program. He caught on immediately and has just helped this thing really grow well beyond what I initially envisioned.
So what is it? Why a book? What is in the book? What does it cover?
I think the book helps become a tangible resource when we go out into the community. Whenever we are there, we do bring our experience. We like to engage with the community, share our thoughts, and so forth. But when we often leave, it's whatever was said and whatever was written down in notes. And we've always felt we wish we could give them a toolbox. And this book is that toolbox. It gives them a guideline of how to begin to recognize what are the big diseases that plague the communities, or even that community specifically where we began to have a conversation with. And then what are the next steps to do? We don't want to just get them engaged and excited, but we want to give them clear direction of what to do next in order to make a big impact. And we believe that's what the book offers. It is our toolbox for when we go out to the community, no different than the stethoscope of a physician.
This is the third edition. What's new?
Couple things. One, Dr. Bennett and I always had an interest not only in chronic disease, but also in addressing health disparities, and because they're a serious problem. And we've both committed, and Dr. Galitsotis is committed, to health equity.
And I was going to say, that sort of health disparities is a shorthand among people in medicine for vastly unequal outcomes
races. That's correct. Or races, ethnic groups could also be other factors, but particularly you think of race and ethnic groups. So in Baltimore, we were able to really focus on that. Two chapters give good examples, one at a large African-American church and one at a Spanish-language Catholic church, of how these programs can impact health disparities. So that's one issue. The other difference is that we initially, Dr. Ben and I had, as I indicated, a geriatrics focus, older adults. We realized that there's interest and need well beyond that. And so with this edition, we're also talking about child and adolescent issues and health issues like asthma that Dr. Galitsotis is a specialist in that span the whole life span. So both wider age groups and particularly taking on health disparities.
And we've created a website to supplement this.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, and the book we're talking about is titled Building Healthy Communities Through Medical Religious Partnerships. I'm talking with Dr. Panagis Galitsotis, co-director of Medicine for the Greater Good, and Dr. Daniel Hale, director of the Hopkins Healthy Community Partnership. He's also assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Dr. Hale, in a few minutes, we're going to meet Antoinette Joyner from St. John's AME Church in West Baltimore, who went through the Lay Health Partnership Program. There's a chapter in the book about the training. Give us an overview.
So we recruit volunteers, largely from faith communities, who come in for about 20 hours of training. They come in 2 hours a week for 10, 11 weeks. Each time, there are a couple topics covered. The instructors for that generally come out of the internal medicine residency program at Bayview, the one that Dr. Galitsotis is now going to help direct there. And so they learn about the medical conditions, they learn about the likely needs in their congregations and communities, and they learn about resources and how to pair those up. So Ms. Joyner probably realizes in her congregation hypertension is a major issue. So she will learn not only how serious it might be, but what can be done about it, how to screen for it. If she wants to, she can even learn how to do the screening with automated monitors, blood pressure monitors, and offer support for individuals that recognize they need to make some changes.
Okay, but these are lay people, so
yes.
they're not doing medical diagnosis per se.
No, so what we're trying to do, so in my opinion, this might be a bad analogy, but I always like using it. What this book is intended to do, as is the Lay Health Educator Program, sort of the blue apron of delivering information around medicine. And while we're not making chefs, we're making people more knowledgeable of putting these ingredients together and delivering an impactful message, one that we hope cultivates in fulfilling the social gaps that are absent in our biological interventions. We always say—
Our biological interventions, meaning—
Medications.
What hospitals.
Exactly. And having peer-to-peer educators, having lay health persons there that can advocate for their community loved ones in their churches, synagogues, mosques, et cetera, that makes more of an impact of helping a life, saving a life, and moving a life forward towards a quality of care that a physician and nurse's reach just could never achieve on its own.
So we say lay health educator. It's really more correct to say that we train them to be educational facilitators. So we give them the information that they in turn can pass along to their congregation and community.
Right. And I was thinking earlier, Dr. Galeazzetas, when you were talking about the power of being in working with religious congregations, that there's a horizontal, a shared learning going
right.
on as opposed to the more hierarchical kind of relationship most of us have with our doctors.
Right. It's very bidirectional. One is we want to make sure that the community feels empowered and engaged. We have raised people up into positions of leaders where they are seen by the community as, oh, that's our health liaisons to the healthcare access and so forth. For our residents, our physicians in training, by far it's bidirectional. Just no different than how a patient constantly teaches a doctor, every community teaches our residents, molds our professional identity to recognize, wow, the more I interact with the community, the more I get a sense of the resources around them, what their health priorities are, and seeing if we can align our own medical goals with their community societal needs and see if we can make a bigger achievement, one together.
Are there metrics or formal evaluations for the work you do in communities? I mean, how do you know what's working, what's not?
If I can give an example, this is an ideal example of how it could work. So there's a lot of confusion about flu vaccinations. So at a church service, Dr. Galeazzetas got up and spoke to clear up any misconceptions. That was followed by Reverend Dante Hickman saying, this is an important issue. I want you to follow me down to the fellowship hall afterwards to get vaccinated. And we did surveys on that. And you have the numbers.
Yep. Two-thirds of the members who got vaccinated that Sunday were not vaccinated the year before and would not have pursued a vaccination that year if it wasn't for its presence at the congregation. So that is a metric that we measure. And one to add to that a little bit more, what I love is the flu vaccination drive is a population health strategy. But the communities, when we talked to them in some of the meetings, one of the big highlights that they were emphasizing was not missing a day of work. Missing a day of work led to less pay. So we said, well, flu vaccines is one way to not miss a day of work. So we aligned their community needs with a population health strategy.
What would you say is the most important thing you've learned over the years working closely with faith communities about health literacy?
So I think the thing that has impressed me the most is the hunger for the information. So when I started this 25 years ago, we had a two-year grant to train just a dozen people. The demand was so great, we trained 59 people. And then hospitals and other foundations came to us and said, we want the same thing. So I think people recognize that it is an empowering program. That, like Dr. Gallitz was saying, we really equip them with the tools they need to maintain their health, to maintain their independence and their dignity.
For me, it's an experience of recognizing that we're all part of this health initiative moving forward, trying to make Baltimore City the healthiest city in the world. It's on the shoulders of all of us. I think the one biggest recognition I have is that I no longer see myself as a physician who engages with the community. I see myself as a community member that just happened to become a doctor. And I think that recognition has offered me the ability to sit down with everyone and put everyone on an equal level and recognize that we're all in this together.
I really appreciate you both talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Panagis Galeatsetos, a pulmonary and critical care physician, co-directs Medicine for the Greater Good at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center. Dr. Daniel Hale, a clinical psychologist, directs the Hopkins Health Community Partnership. Along with Bayview Medical Center President Dr. Richard Bennett, they are co-authors of Building Healthy Communities Through Medical Religious Partnerships. We have a link to more information about the programs and how to find the book at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. After a short break, On the Record, we'll ask a church member what difference healthy community partnership has made in her congregation. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine's Healthy Community Partnership. One aspect of that partnership is the Lay Health Educator Program. With us in studio is Antoinette Joyner, who's been through the program. Joyner is the Commissioner for Healthcare Ministry at St. John's African Methodist Episcopal Church near Lafayette Square Park in West Baltimore. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. What is a healthcare ministry?
The healthcare ministry, it ministers to the congregation as well as the community in which our church is in, with bringing health topics, bringing doctors in for topics like high blood pressure, depression, grief and loss, diabetes, heart disease, things like that, things that relate directly to situations in our church and community.
Has St. John's always had a healthcare ministry?
No, it hasn't.
How did it get started?
It was a passion that my pastor had, Dr. Peggy Wall. It was a passion, one of her visions, that she wanted to have a healthcare ministry. And so she started it, and she made me a part of it.
And why did your pastor think that was important for the community?
It was important because we have a aging congregation. So we have a lot of health issues in our congregation, and not just the elderly, but some of our younger ones who have cancer and different things like that. And she thought that it would be good to have a group of people looking out for anything that would occur health-wise within our congregation.
And that was about how long ago?
I want to say it was in 2015, late 2015, early 2016.
How did you yourself find out about the Lay Health Partnership Program?
When my pastor made me a part of that ministry, then I started looking for, hospitals that were doing things with religious groups. And I stumbled on something from Kimberly Munson, so I emailed her. And
she's at Bayview.
Yeah, she's at Bayview. And I said to her that I was looking to partner with a hospital because we're starting a health ministry within our church. And that's when she told me, well, you're in luck because we have a lay health educators program here. So that's how I found out about it.
And this is not just sort of an ad hoc program. This is a whole training.
Yes,
right?
It's a whole training.
Tell me in some detail what you got in that training. What did you study?
We studied about, about the heart, healthy eating. We studied diabetes, depression, suicide, dialysis patients, kidney failure. We had a whole booklet of everything that we would go through week by week. So it looked over a whole lot of different topics.
And you're studying these from the book, or were there also lectures?
There were lectures. We had books, but each week that we came was on a Thursday evening. We would know what we were going to be working on that week, and there would be a health professional there that would talk about that topic, and we could ask questions.
You work in healthcare yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
I'm a nursing technician at Good Samaritan Hospital.
Is that kind of background necessary to go through this Lay Health Partnership program?
No, because they didn't have to have that background, but they would teach you things. You didn't. It would be a plus if you had a medical background, but it didn't have to be.
What did you learn in the training that surprised you, if anything? I mean, if you're a health professional, I assume you knew all that.
Yeah, the blood pressure and all of that things, I knew. They gave me a different insight on dealing with things like depression and grief and loss. It was something, some things about grief and loss that I hadn't put together. I kind of always just put grief and loss with someone passing away, and that's not always about what the grief and loss is about.
How so?
Because, as they pointed out, grief and loss can be a loss of anything, meaning a job, your health, finances, and things like that. I always put it to someone that lost a loved one that passed away.
What proportion of the training would you say focused on mental health as opposed to physical, somatic problems?
It wasn't a big part on mental health. It was a small clip. A small portion that we talked about mental health, and Dr. Hale came in and he taught us on that particular subject. But mostly it dealt with health. I mean, you know, physical health.
Dr. Daniel Hale.
Yes.
He's one of the organizers of this.
Yes, and he's one of the authors of the book.
That's Antoinette Joyner, Commissioner of Health Care Ministry at St. John's AME Church in West Baltimore. I'm Sheila Kast, and this is On the Record on WIPR. We're talking about the Johns Hopkins Lay Health Education Program in which Antoinette Joyner participates. What are some of the ways you've implemented what you learned with your congregation?
I've had several health topics that I brought to my church. I had the doctors to come to my church on a Saturday morning, so they sacrificed their time, and I mean early on a Saturday morning, and they would do a workshop on several topics. I believe at this point I've had about 8 workshops through Bayview.
What are some of the topics you've covered?
Depression, grief and loss, diabetes, heart disease, nutrition.
I understand there's a workshop called 5 Wishes.
Yes.
What's that about?
It's called Who Will Speak for Me. It's a healthcare advanced directive, which everyone should have. It appoints an agent that will speak for you in the event that you can't speak for yourself to make sure that your wishes are carried out.
Who else in the congregation went through the training?
2 of my church members, Ella Williams and Vita Moore. They went with the 3 of us went through that training together.
Do you have continuing training or kind of refresher courses?
They offer them. Kimberly Munson will send out emails to us offering things, different topics that they go over, or refresher courses. But I haven't had to take any other courses.
What kind of response have you gotten from your congregation?
Great. It's a great response. The congregation is very grateful for the medical professionals that come into our church, because each one of the sessions that we had, we gained a lot of clarity out of them, so that my congregation and my pastor are very happy with the way this ministry is going and with the partnership that we have with Bayview.
And are there topics that the congregation has asked you to address?
Yes.
Like what?
There's one coming up in August, and that's on dealing with pain. People that are suffering with pain every day, arthritis and things like that.
Chronic pain. Are there any specific examples that come to mind of congregants who have benefited from this ministry?
Oh, yes.
Workshops.
Yes. One that sticks out the most is one of our senior members that has passed on. She was very happy when I had, I think the very first workshop that I did was on how to get the most out of your doctor's visit. And one of the medical professionals from Bayview came out and just kind of walked us through, make a list of what you want to ask them, write it down so that you only have a short window of time with that provider. So get everything that you want to ask, write it down, and then you have your list with you so you don't leave and say, oh boy, I forgot to ask this. And one of our seniors, she greatly benefited from that. She told me that she hadn't thought of writing things down beforehand. You always go to the doctor, and when you leave, oh man, I forgot to ask about this.
If somebody at some other congregation is thinking of doing something like this, what advice would you give them?
Do it. It's a wonderful program. You will be blessed. Your congregation will be blessed. I would say do it, and do it now. Bayview, I can't complain about them at all. They are kind. The doctors that come are wonderful. I'm always in awe when they leave. Because I know some doctors that I work with are not that receptive to lay people asking questions. So
and
these doctors are.
That is a big part of this, isn't it, asking questions?
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you telling us about it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Antoinette Joyner, Commissioner of the Healthcare Ministry at St. John's AME Church in West Baltimore. She's a participant in the Johns Hopkins Lay Health Education Program. We have links to information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Gast. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.